record.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Oh, I love that song. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And this show is for Monday, December the 19th, 2016. And I treated myself and had a root beer float. Shame on me. But it was kosher. It was kosher. Oy, yes, it was kosher. Oh, my. Crazy times. Crazy times here, folks. I got to laughing so hard I lost it. Oh, my. Well, well, well. Let's get into this exciting section of 2 Samuel here. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 16, and you can reference verse 1 in 2 Samuel 9, chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Verse 1, when David was a little past the top, he was going up a mountain. Behold, Sheba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of saddled asses, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And these were provisions for all the people that were with them. And verse 2, said the king to Sheba, "For what are these?" And Sheba said, "The asses are for the king's household to ride, the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine is for those that grow faint in the wilderness to drink." Okay, here's verse 3. Remember, Sheba was ordered by the king to administer the estate of Mephibosheth, because he couldn't really do it. He was lame in the feet. And he said, "Oh yeah, we'll do that," basically. Verse 3, said the king, "Where is your master's son?" Speaking of Mephibosheth. And you can reference verse 3 in 2 Samuel 19, verses 25 through 27. Said Sheba to the king, "Behold, he abides at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel return me the kingdom of my father." Now that's a straight up lie right there. Sheba, I told you he was trying to finagle the land. Well, he just lied and basically told Dawid that Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, who he loved, was a traitor. And he was not. He was completely innocent of this accusation. So this servant lied. That's going to come back on him. Verse 4. Said the king to Sheba, "Behold, yours is all that was Mephibosheth." Said Sheba, "I bow down to you. May I find favor in your eyes, my lord, O king." On verse 4, Dawid makes a hasty decision. Bad decision. And he's going to have to correct that later. Verse 5. When King Dawid came to Bakurim, behold, from there came forth a man of the clan of the house of Shaul. Okay, he was one of his clansmen. And his clan of his in that tribe, whose name was Shimei, 8096. Now there are a number of people that are named this in Scripture. There's several. So you have to go by this, the son of Gera, 1617. You have to go by the names of their fathers. It's like a whole bunch of people named John. Well, which John? Well, John, son of... Oh, that John. Uh-huh. Well, he came forth and cursed, 7043, as he came forth. He was a hater of Dawid at that point. Had to clear the pipes again. 6. He cast, 5619, stones at Dawid and at all the servants of King Dawid and all the people of the mighty men. That's here it's Dawid's personal soldiers and bodyguard were on his right hand and on his left. I mean, and this Shimei is really laying it on thick. Verse 7, thus said Shimei when he cursed, come forth, you bloody man, you man of Belial. That means man of worthlessness. Verse 8, Yahweh has returned upon you all the blood of the house of Shaul, in whose place you have reigned. And Yahweh has given the kingdom into the hand of Abishalom, your son. Behold, your calamity is because you are a bloody man. He didn't kill anybody of the house of Shaul. He was not guilty of this. And calamity here is 7451, and it means evil, calamity, harm, it has a number of meanings. So 7451 here means calamity because of the attempted overthrow of Abishalom. Verse 9, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, to the king, that's Joab's brother, why should this dead dog, 3611, And calling a man a dog was a huge insult at that point. Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me please go over and remove 5493 his head. Oh, Abishai was ready to go lop off his head for that. Verse 10. Said the king, "What has this to do with you, you sons of Tsruiah?" Because they were overboard on everything they did. I mean, they were just violent. "Let him curse, because Yahweh said to him, 'Curse Dawud.' Who shall say, 'Wherefore have you done so?'" Verse 11. Said Dawud to Abishai and all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my inner parts, 4, 5, 7, 8, like loins, seeks my life. How much more now this Benyamini," that's Benjaminite, "let him alone and curse, because Yahweh has spoken to him." Verse 12, "Perhaps Yahweh looks on my affliction, and Yahweh will return good for his cursing this day." Again, Dawud acts righteously. Verse 13, "As Dawud and his men walked by the way, Shimei walked on the side of the hill close to him, cursing as he walked, and threw stones at him and cast dust." He was really off the track right there. And that'll come back on him later. Shimei's not going to get away with everything. Verse 14, "The king and all the people with him came weary," 5, 8, 8, 9, "and refreshed themselves there with all that food that the fellow had brought." Okay, I'm going to get a drink of water here because I've been coughing, and it's just the way it is. When I start to speak a lot, that happens. And my apologies for that, but it is a personal affliction that I have to deal with. Verse 15, "Abishalom and all his people of the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Achithophel with him." That was the counselor that was formerly David's counselor, Dawud's counselor. Hard to break that long-time pronunciation saying David. It's not David, it's Dawud with a W. And even I have trouble with that. I forget out of force of habit. Verse 16, "It came to be when Cushai the Archi, friend of Dawud, came to Abishalom, that Cushai said to Abishalom, 'Long live the king. Long live the king.'" All right, let's stop right there. That's a Hebrew saying. That's one of ours that made it into our culture in Europe when they had a new king. That's what we would say. And that comes from our Hebrew roots right here. So another tie to our history. So let's move on. Verse 17. Said Abishalom to Cushai, "This is kindness to your friend. Why did you not go with your friend?" He's speaking of David as his friend. Verse 18, said Cushai to Abishalom, "Nay, because whom Yahweh and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will abide." Verse 19, and again, 81:45, "Whom should I serve if not in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence." In other words, you're the king now. They chose you. and I'm going to be your servant. Well, he's deceiving him. He's a spy for David. And his job is to try to frustrate the counsel of Achithophel. Verse 20, then said Abishalom to Achithophel, give counsel as to what we shall do. Said Achithophel to Abishalom, go in unto your father's concubines, which he has left to keep his house, and all Israel shall hear that you are odious, 887, to your father. Then the hands of all that are with you shall be strong. Okay, verse 21 is a political move. In other words, that establishes him as the king when he takes the concubines. But they're his father's concubines. And it violates the law of Yahweh. He is not to do that. Now, for it were a conquering king not related to David, and he took the concubines, that would merely be a political action. But this is uncovering his father's skirt because he's related, he's his son. That's a violation of the law of Yahweh. That's going to come back on him. Verse 22, so they spread out, 5186, a tent for Abishalom upon the top of the house, 1406. They had flat roofs, so they used them for all kinds of stuff. So they put up a tent up there. And Abishalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. He took them up one at a time and had his way with them. In verse 22 here, you can reference Leviticus 18:8 and 2 Samuel 12, verses 11 and 12. Verse 23, the counsel of Achithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the word of Elohim. In other words, he had such a reputation, it was like inquiring of God. That's what they said. That it wasn't so, but so was all the counsel of Achithophel, both with David and with Abishalom. He was supposed to be a really wise counselor. Well, he just counseled the son of David to violate Yahweh's law. So that wasn't particularly good counsel, now, was it? Because it's going to come back on Abishalom big time later. And eventually, Abishalom will be killed. So it's not going to do him any good. We're going to get into chapter 17 now, verse 1. Said Achithophel to Abishalom, now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will rise up and pursue after David tonight. Just a second here. That's rough. Verse 2, I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, 7504, in other words, lacking power, and will make him afraid, that's all one word, 2729, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I shall smite only, 905, the king. Verse 3, I will bring back all the people to you, but the man you seek. If all return, all the people shall be at peace. In other words, he's going to go attack them, and the only one he's going to kill is Dawid. Now his son is pleased. Verse 4, the words pleased Abishalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Those were traitors that had gone over to Abishalom. What a rotten kid. I mean, plotting his father's death. I mean, he was just no good. No good at all. Verse 5, then said Abishalom, call Cushai the Archite also, and let us hear also what he says. Verse 6, when Cushai came to Abishalom, Abishalom spoke to him, saying, Achitophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak. In other words, what's your opinion? Verse 7, said Cushai to Abishalom, the counsel that Achitophel has given is not good at this time. Verse 8, said Cushai, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are bitter. 4751 in being, 5315, as a bear, 1677, bereaved, 7909, in the field. That means who has had lost children. A she-bear, and she goes mad. And your father is a man of war and will not spend the night, 3885, with the people. In other words, you're going to send people up against the best of the best, and they're really angry because of what you're doing, and they're going to go crazy on whoever you send, and your father is a man of war, and he won't spend the night with the people. He's smarter than that. Well, verse 9, behold, he is hid in some cave or in some other place, and it will be when some fall at the first, that whoever hears will say, there is a slaughter, 4046, among the people that follow Abishalom. Verse 10, he also that is a son of valor, whose heart is at the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. That's 4549, doubled. Because all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those with him are sons of valor. Verse 11, but I counsel that all Israel be gathered together to you from Dan, 1835, to Be'er Sheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle before them. Verse 12, so we can come to him in one place where he shall be found, and we will rest, 5117, upon him as the dew falls upon the ground, and of him and all the men with him shall not be left as much as one. Verse 13, and if he is assembled into a city, then all Israel shall lift up ropes, 2256, to that city, and we will drag it off, 5498, into the wadi until not one small pebble, 6872, be found there. Verse 14, Abishalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Cushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Achitophel, for Yahweh had decreed All right. Yahweh set this up. For Yahweh had decreed that the good counsel of Achithophel be frustrated, so that Yahweh might bring calamity to Abishalom. That's at 7451 again. Verse 15. Remember, Cushai is also a spy. Said Cushai to Zadok and to Ebiathar the priest, thus and thus did Achithophel counsel Abishalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. In other words, he recounted the story. They didn't want to put the whole thing in here, so they just put thus and thus. Verse 16, now send quickly and tell Dawud, saying, do not spend the night in the plains of the wilderness, but surely pass over, lest the king be swallowed up, that's 1104, with all the people that are with him. Verse 17. Jonathan and Achimaatz, that's not Jonathan, son of Shaul, that's a different Jonathan, and Achimaatz stayed at Ein Rogel, because they must not be seen to enter the city. A maidservant went and told them, and they went and told King Dawud. Verse 18, but a boy saw them and told Abishalom, but they went both of them quickly, 41:20, and came to a man's house in Bakarim, which had a well in the courtyard, which they went down into. Verse 19, and a woman took and spread a covering over the mouth of the well and spread grain on it, and the thing was not known. She hid the well because she was on Dawid's side. Verse 20, when Abishalom's servants came to the woman of the house, they said, where are Achimaatz and Jonathan? And the woman said to them, they passed over the brook 4323 of water, and when they sought and could not find them, they returned to Yerushalayim. She hid them, like Rahab hid the men of Israel in Jericho. Ha ha. Verse 21, it came to be after they departed that they came up from the well and went and told King Dawud, and said to Dawud, rise up and pass over quickly the water, for thus has Achithophel counseled against you. In other words, they told him all his counsel. And they shortened it by just saying thus. And I need to clear the pipes again. Okay, I'll get another drink of water here. All this intrigue going on. I just love this section of the book. It's just full of action. It's better than any fiction novel. Verse 22. Dawud rose up and all the people with him, and they passed over the Jordan. By the morning light there remained not one of them that had not passed over the Jordan. That's the Jordan River. Verse 23, when Achithophel saw that his counsel was not done, he saddled his ass and rose up and went to his house, to his city, and gave charge to his household. In other words, he told him what to do, and hanged himself, 2614, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. In other words, it affected him so much he suicided. He hung himself. So dies a traitor. I don't feel sorry for him. And remember, a man that is hanged is cursed of Yahweh. Remember that. Verse 24, Dawud came to Machanaim. Abishalom passed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. Verse 25, Abishalom placed Amasa over the army in the place of Joab. Now, Joab was with David. Now, Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Yithra, 3501, the Yisraeli, 3481. All right, let's stop here. 1 Chronicles 2:17 has 3,500, not 3,501. Yether. And it also has 3,459 Ishmaelite instead of 3,481. So there is a discrepancy between this verse in Shemuel and the verse 2:17 in 1 Chronicles. Okay. The son of whose man was Yithra, the Israeli, that went in unto Abigail, the daughter of Nachash, sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. Verse 26. So Israel and Abishalom camped in the land of Gilead. Verse 27. It came to be when David came to Machanaim that Shobi, 7629, the son of Nachash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, 1271, the Gileadi of Rogalim, 7274, and but for Barzillai, you can see 2 Samuel 19, verse 32. Brought, verse 28, brought beds, 4904, basins, 5592, potter's vessels, wheat, barley, flour, and parched grain, beans, and lentils, and parched grain, again, in the Hebrew, but it's not in the Septuagint or the Syriac version. That "and parched grain" the second time is not in there in those other versions, only in the Hebrew here. Verse 29, honey, butter, sheep, and cheese from the flock for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry, weary, and thirsty in the wilderness. David will remember this kindness of Barzillai, and that is seen in 2 Samuel 19:32. Okay, that's why I mentioned that. Now let's get into chapter 18. And there's retribution in this chapter, okay? So this is going to be full action. Verse 1, David mustered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Verse 2, David sent forth a third of the people under the hand of Joab and a third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third under the hand of Ittai, the Gitti. Said the king to the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. Verse 3, answered the people, you shall not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not set their minds toward us, nor if half of us die, will they set their minds toward us, because now you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better because you help, 5826, help us from the city. In other words, you be the commander and hang back. We don't want to get you killed. They loved Dawood. They were his guys. Verse 4, said the king to them, what is pleasing in your eyes, I will do. The king stood by the side of the gate, and all the people came forth by the hundreds and by the thousands. Verse 5, commanded the king Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, and listen to this, be gentle, 328, for my sake, with the young man Abishalom. He didn't want him killed. All the people heard the king command all the captains upon the matter of Abishalom. Note that. Verse 5. Okay. Verse 6. So the people went forth into the field to meet Israel. And the battle was in the forest, 3293, of Ephraim. Verse 7, where the people of Israel were smitten before the servants of Dawood, and there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000. These were people of Israel that had risen up against Dawood, the rightful king. So no great loss there. We're going to have people rise up against us, the rightful Israel, of people of our own race are going to be traitors to us, and they're going to go against Yahweh, and we cannot mourn for them because they have chosen their fate. That's coming, brothers and sisters. In the day of the tribulation and when Yeshua returns, those that have been our enemies will die. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Read that. It tells the fate of our enemies. And we can have no remorse or compassion upon them, because at that point when our Master Yeshua returns, the period of grace is over. No more grace. You're either with us or against us. There's no shades of gray at that point. We've got grace right now. People can change their minds and repent and go to Yahweh. And that's what we want. But there are going to be a great many of people of our own kind that are going to be the enemies. And they're going to suffer the fate of the goats. They're not going to be of the sheep of Yeshua, of his flock. They're going to be goat people. And it's a shame, and I grieve for them in advance, but when that day comes, if they're on the other battle line, that's it. Too bad. Verse 8. The battle there was scattered, 6327, over the face of all the land, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. In other words, they'd fall down holes and off of cliffs and run into stuff. And bad place to fight. It was dangerous in there. Verse 9, Abishalom encountered, 7122, the presence, 6440, of the servants of Dawood. Abishalom rode upon a mule. And he's riding to get away from him. He's galloping away. And the mule went under the thick branches of a great terebinth tree. That's 424. That is not an oak tree, as in the KJV. It is a large shade tree, and it is a terebinth, not an oak. And he was placed, 5414, between the sky, 6084, and the land. And the mule that was under him passed on. He got hung up in the oak tree and was just hanging there, kicking up above the ground. Verse 10, a certain man saw and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Abishalom hanging 8518 in a terebinth. Verse 11, said Joab to the man that told him, behold, you saw, and why did you not smite him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. Now listen to this. Here's verse 12. And this is reiterating verse 5. Said the man to Joab, if I should be paid 1,000 of silver in the palm of my hand, I would not put forth my hand against the king's son, because in our ears, in other words, everybody was a witness, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, take you care, 8104, 4310 combined, of the young man Abishalom. He clearly reminded Joab of the king's command. Verse 13. Otherwise, 176, I would have done wrong, 8267, against my own life. For there is not any matter hid, 3582, from the king, and you would yourself set yourself against me. Verse 14. Said Joab, I will not wait so for before you. Wait is 3176. He took 3 darts, 7626, in his hand, and that's a crude throwing weapon, and thrust them, 8628, through the heart of Abishalom, while he still lived in the midst of the terebinth. This verse 15. 10 young men that bore Joab's armor surrounded and smote Abishalom and killed him. Well, Joab was the first to strike him. And then all his guys, his armor bearers and his, you know, like squires to a knight, they all surrounded him and just killed him. They stabbed him and chopped him. And direct violation of the king's order. Verse 16, Joab blew the shofar. And that was used to signal troops in the battle. That's the ram's horn. And the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab spared, 28:20, as stopped the killing, the people. Okay, I had told you earlier when we had discussed Joab, when he killed Abner, that this whole family was a violent bunch. Verse 17, they took away Abishalom and cast him down into a great pit in the forest and set up a very great heap of stones upon him. In other words, they just threw him in a pit and just threw stones in on him. And all Israel fled, every man to his tent. Verse 18. Now Abishalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself a pillar, 4678, and that's as a personal monument, which is in the king's valley, because he said, I have no son to remember my name. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called to this day Yad Abishalom, the hand of Abishalom. Literally, it's an idiom for a monument. said Achimaatz, the son of Zadok, "Please let me run and bear the news to the king, for Yahweh has vindicated him," 8199, "from his hated enemies," and that's as passed judgment on his enemies. Verse 20, said Joab to him, "You shall not be the man bearing the news this day, but you shall bear the news another day. This day you shall bear no news, because the king's son is dead." Verse 21. Said Joab to the Cushi, 3569. That's a Cushite. That was Joab's adjutant. "Go and report to the king what you have seen." And the Cushi bowed himself to Joab and ran. Verse 22, said Achimaatz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "Whatever may be, let me, I beseech you, also run after the Cushi." Said Joab, "Why will you run, my son, as you have no news secured?" 4672, "like found, as for a reward." It's Motzeth in the Hebrew. Verse 23, "Whatever may be, let me run." And he said to him, "Run." Then ran Achimaatz by the way of the plain and passed the Cushi. Verse 24, David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went to the roof over the gate to the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld a man running alone. Verse 25, the watchman cried out and told the king. Said the king, "If he is alone, news is in his mouth." Verse 26, the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper, 7778, and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." Verse 27, the watchman said, "I see the running of the foremost," that's the guy out in front, 7223, "is like the running of Achimaatz, the son of Zadok." He evidently had a reputation for being swift, okay? And said the king, "He is a good man and comes with good news." Verse 28. Achimaatz called out and said to the king, "Peace." And he prostrated himself with his face upon the ground before the king and said, "Blessed be Yahweh Elohecha, our God, which has delivered up which has delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." Verse 29. Said the king, "Is the young man Abishalom safe?" And answered Achimaatz, "When Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult," 1995, that's Hamon, "a roaring like from a crowd, but I knew not what." Okay. Verse 30. Said the king, "Turn around," 5437, "and stand here," 3320. And he turned around and stood, 5975. Verse 31, "Behold, the Cushi came, and the Cushi said, 'News, my lord king, for Yahweh has vindicated you this day from all that rose up against you.'" Verse 32, said the king to the Cushi, "Is it peace to the young man Abishalom?" and answered the Cushi, "May the hated enemies of my lord the king and all that rise up against you to do you harm become as the young man." All right, there's a verse 33 in the King James, but it is not in chapter 18. It is the first verse of chapter 19 in the Hebrew text, and I have placed that verse in its proper order as it is in the Hebrew in 19:1. So there is no verse 33 in chapter 18 of second book of Shemuel. They played with the verse order there like they played with everything else. And verse 19 continues the story, and I will get to that tomorrow on Tuesday. I will be doing chapters 19 and 20, just two chapters tomorrow, because they're long chapters. So that's the end of chapter 18 today. His name in verse 21 is not Cushi. He is a man from Cush. Therefore, a Cushi means a Cushite, from Hebrew Cush, not Ethiopia today. He's not a Negro. He is an Israelite from Hebrew occupied Cush, which is a different region close to Egypt, but not the land known today as Ethiopia. They keep translating that Ethiopia. It is wrong. They are in error, as everything else they've done. And they keep repeating these errors. And it's monkey see, monkey do. One translator reads the other guy's work and just keeps repeating his mistakes. And then they teach these things in the church. And same way in the New Testament, the Ethiopian eunuch. No, he was a Cushite, not Ethiopian. He wasn't black. Yeshua didn't do anything with the blacks. They've deliberately perverted this stuff. And it's just disgusting, and I just get so sick of it. You can use the King James Bible, but you better have a whole bunch of research material to use with it, because it is a mess. They've changed word orders, changed the chapter numbers, moved the books around, inserted words, deleted words, changed the words, mistranslated words, changed all the names. They don't pronounce them right. So many people use the King James Bible. I mean, they really do. There's a lot of people that use it. Doesn't make it a good reference thing. I'm sorry, but it's just not all that good. If you're going to really do studies, there are other Bibles. I use the Scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. They've got a new version of it out. I had written to them and told them about the word Gentiles and several other things, and they have removed the word Gentiles in the new version. I had taken a little white out and whited out every time it said Gentile and put in nations, because that's what it means. Well, they've done that. They took my advice and they looked everything up and they changed the text and put out a new version. They know who I am. You know, I've been around a long time and I've written a lot of stuff and had radio shows and all that nonsense, you know, wah, wah, wah. The same way with this show. This show isn't the Pastor Steve show. It's word for word because it's all about the word. I am not important. The word is. And I have been blessed with a lot of knowledge. Yahweh has blessed me with understanding and now a knowledge of the Hebrew language over a long period of time. And he has called me to pass this on. He works through Adam kind. He will take an Adam like me. And I'm no great shakes. I've been a heller. You know, when I was younger, I'm an old biker. So I can't wave any flags and say, oh, look at me, I'm so great. I'm not. Far, far from it. But when Yahweh gets a hold of you, he changes you. And he shapes you and forms you and makes you capable of doing the job that he assigns to you. And I really hated my life, and I still hate my former life. I hate it. I despise the man that I was. And he has changed me, and I praise him. And I am not that man. I have put off the old man and put on the new man, just as it says in Scripture. And when you turn your life over to the Messiah, and you really believe on him, and you have faith, and you want to act on it, he will help you do that. He will send the Holy Spirit on you, and you will become a new person by his hand. Because the old person you want to get rid of. Well, I've gotten rid of the old person. Praise Yahweh. He's gone. And I am a new person in Yeshua Messiah. And what a blessing. I am so pleased and thankful. And then I got all this computer equipment. Where all this stuff came from, all this research library. I've got a huge library. He has blessed me time after time after time, and all of this stuff is related to the work that he wants me to do. These shows, Eurofolk Radio, co-hosting with Pastor Eli. What a joy to work with that man. What a guy. A dedicated servant of Yahweh. David James. Paul English. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Pastor Visser, what a crew. And we're right at the forefront of the battle lines here, folks. And you faithful listeners are right here with us. And for those that are sitting on the fence and are just new to this, get yourself and your families prepared spiritually first. Now, you can work on the physical preparedness for the tribulation at the same time. But Yahweh first, that is my message. Yahweh first, always. I'm out of time, and I will talk to you again tomorrow. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the